Perikud Beis Chav Kimo, in the middle of the names over here. We got B'nai Levi, Rasha, Elvis, Kesuvim, all Sefer Divrei Yomim. Sons of Levi, the heads of all the families, are written in the Sefer Divrei Yomim. Ad Yemei Yochanan ben Eliyashiv. They go all the way till the days of Yochanan ben Eliyashiv. Okay, we have absolutely no idea what happened over here. It's possible that Yochanan himself destroyed the records, because we don't have this Divrei Yomim at all. Right, we have the Divrei Yomim of the Malchi Yehuda. We don't have the Divrei Yomim of the Malchi Yisrael. We don't have this Divrei Yomim of all the genealogy, anything like that. We don't know. If this is Yochanan the Kohen Gadol, you know, the Sadducee, the Tzaduki, that went off completely, it makes sense that he wanted to destroy the legitimate record, but it's very unlikely it's Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It's probably somebody else. So what happened? Again, they got lost. They're somewhere, like, really obvious that nobody's ever noticed or whatever it is. We have absolutely no idea. But unfortunately, we don't know. It's in that Sefer some of the Rosh Elavim, Chashavya, Sherevia, Yeshua ben Kadmiel, the Achaim Lenagdam, and their brothers were right next to them, the Halal Hodis Mitzvah David, right? They went in and they praised and they thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Through David HaMelech's tunes, Isha Elohim, the man of God, Mishmor Lumas Mishmor, they had a watch opposite every watch. In other words, they had Mishmaros, the same way there were Kohanim, the 24 groups of Kohanim, there were 24 groups of Levim, and each one did their thing in their week. They came to Yerushalayim and they did whatever they were supposed to do. Matanya, Bakbukia, right, he was probably named after a bottle. Ovadia Mishulam, Talmon Akuv, all of those people. Shomrim Shoarim, they were the gatekeepers over here. Mishmor, they watched things together. Basupi Asha'arim, all together by the gathering of the gates themselves. That's what they were supposed to do. They were taking care of the gates. Eile Bimei Yoyakim ben Yeshua ben Yotzalek. These were in the days of Yoyakim, right, who was the son of Yeshua, the son of Yotzalek, Bimei Nechemiah HaPecho, and also Nechemiah, the governor, the person in charge of Ezra Cohen, a sofer, as well as Ezra Cohen, this sofer itself, the person who's supposed to be here. Once again, I am going to point out over here that Ezra is, even at the end of his life, is never known as Ezra Cohen Gadol, because he was only Ezra Cohen. That's it. Nothing more than that. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to do when it comes to this. Now, everything what we're going to talk about over here is going to be the dedication of Yerushalayim itself. It's not really the ceremony. It's really talking about the halachic sanctification that happened over here. And the reason why this is so important is because the sanctification of this area lasts until today. What they did to the area of the second base of Mikdash, which seems to be after they fully built it, this is not in the times of Ezra from way before and not in the times of Zerubbabel, but at the times of Nehemiah, what they did is they enclosed Yerushalayim with a kedusha l'shaita v'kitcha la'asid lavo. That this Kedusha that they're putting there is not going to leave ever. By the first Beis HaMikdash, after it was destroyed, there was no Kedusha there. The Kedusha did not last throughout the 70 years of Bavel. Therefore, it did not have the same lasting Kedusha. You could bring a Korban on a Bama during those 70 years that they were gone from Yerushalayim itself. This time, there's no way to Matur a Bama. We cannot bring Korbanos. In fact, I remember there's a line that was said over by, who was it? One of those big Rabbanim. I forgot who it was. One of the rabbis was asked, what would you do? Oh, I forgot who it was. It was somebody famous. All right, he said, what would you do if you found out tomorrow that you were not Jewish, right? You're not Jewish? What would you do? So the typical answer, what's the typical answer, right? Oh, the cheeseburger. I'm going to, like, try something crazy or something like that, right? He said, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bring a korban and a bama. Then I'm going to go be Megari myself. But that guy, it's just like something you don't think about. We can't bring korbanos nowadays because we're not in the Makom Mikdash and we're not Tahor. But if you're a non-Jew, you can. So go ahead and bring a korban on a bama, because apparently that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what you'd be able to do. So there was a kedusha that went over here, and from now on it's going to be known as Chatzros Kodshecha, right? It's going to be something holy that's going to last over here. That's going to be important. Machanukas Chomis Yerushalayim, when they dedicated the walls of Yerushalayim, Bikshuos Levim Mekol Mekomosam, they asked for the Levim from all the different places, Levim Yerushalayim, and bring everyone to Yerushalayim, Lassos Chanukah V'Simcha B'Soydos V'Shir, to make a massive dedication, make it Simcha, together with thanksgiving offerings, as well as songs, Mitziltayim Nivalim Mekinoros, together with cymbals, Nivalim, you know, those guitars or whatever they are, harps and stuff like that, stringed instruments. By also B'nei Meshorim, all the people that sang, they all gathered, I mean, the Kikar, Svi was Yerushalayim, and from all the plains surrounding Yerushalayim, Mechatzin Netofasi, as well as the areas that were known as Netofas right over there. So it sounds like that. Mibes HaGilgol, Misdos Gavav, Azmavis, they came from the house of Gilgol, from Sdos Geva, the fields of Geva itself, and Aza Azmoves, Kichatzerim Barulahem Meshorim Sivivos Yerushalayim, because the singers had built villages for themselves or areas for themselves outside Yerushalayim, around Yerushalayim, for them to be able to be wherever they needed to be. Vayataharu Akoanim Alevim, the Koanim Alevim purified themselves. Vayataharu Azam, and they purified all of the people as well as Shaarim Vesachoyim, as well as the gates and the wall itself. Not only did they purify themselves, they purified all the area around them, right, so that it would all be completely tahor. Now, what did they do exactly? Now, clearly, when referring to the Levium and the Kohanim themselves, they went into the mikvah. That's the obvious thing when it came to stuff like that. Everybody went together, and that's that. It also could be referring to the walls themselves. They probably whitewashed the walls, made it look beautiful from what it was before. It's been, I mean, LeGrand has only been like 20 years, and it's only been a few years since they redid everything. But yeah, grime builds up. You want to make it look nice and white and whatever it is, right? You want to make it all beautiful. So they redid it, and they took care of the wall again in order to make it a lot nicer. And most likely that's what it means, vayitaru etzachoma. There's no reason to take stone walls and put them inside the mikvah. That doesn't do much over here. It says, v'ale esari Yehuda me'alachoma, and then I brought the leaders of Yehuda up upon the wall. We put it upon everything around there. Most likely it was a very large rampart, right? That's what they call it, a rampart. I think that's in our song. Amida shtei sodos gidolos, and I made two Thanksgiving columns, two areas that were going to be like that. Now, it seems like he made processions, like two, you know, groups over there, up there. Saluchos liyomim me'alachoma l'shara ashbos, and I stood them, I walked them to the right behind the wall, right by Shara Ashbos. Now, Shara Ashbos is not the dung gate that we have today, which is where the buses go out by Yerushalayim itself, because our walls were made by Suleiman the Great, you know, 500 years ago. That's not what it's referring to. It's referring to the Shara Ashbos at first, wherever that was. Probably more toward Yafo is where they used to put the garbage, but I'm not positive about that, of what's going to be over there. However it was, they put it all together and they walked toward that area. So they wanted to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making like a procession, a nice little parade. Vayelech Achareim Hoshaya, Achatzi Sar Yehuda. Hoshaya and half of the leaders of Yehuda went behind him. Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, and then you have Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Yehuda, Ben Yamin, Shemaya, Ben Yirmiya, Ben Ekoan, Ben Chatzotzo, Zachariah, Ben Yonasan, Ben Shemaya, Ben Matani, Ben Michoya, Ben Zakur, Ben Asaf. Well, that's how many? That's eight generations altogether that we know. Seven generations we know how she lived. The Echov, as well as Echov, right, his brothers. Shmai Vazar El, Milalai, Gilalai, Mo'ai, Nesanov Yehuda, Chanoni, Bichlei Shir. They played the Klei Shir. David, Ishavokim. Ezra Sofer Lefneim, and Ezra Sofer stood in front of them wherever they went, he went as well, right? They started using all this type of stuff. Okay, it's possible that they used the musical instruments that David HaMelech mentions in his Tehillim. For example, the Kinor, Silt Salim, Ugav, Minim, you know, Naval, whatever it is. Or they were using the same musical instruments that they had by the first base of Mikdash. After all, they probably had them at this time, right? But either way, they were enhanced. Just like David HaMelech was enhanced by his Ruach HaKodesh in order to write Tehillim, so too these people were enhanced at this time as well. They were able to sing with a different spirit to them. Al Shara Ayin, as well as the well gate, the gate of the spring. V'negdom alo malos Yir David, they went all the way up by Yir David. Bamalo Lechoma, up on top of the wall, me'al beis David, on top of beis David. Al Shara Mayim Mizrach, and toward the water gate, toward the east itself, right over here. Okay, yeah, this is the last known appearance of Ezra Sofer in the Sefer. It could be the last time that he may have died right after this. If you look right over here, here's the procession, the first procession. They started by Shar HaGai in the west side, right? And they went this way, down that way, right? Each one of them went towards Shar HaTzion and Shar HaMayim. Right around by that area, they led them into those areas to be able to go into it. Now, clearly, guys, this is the Beis HaMikdash, meaning if we're looking at this is the west over here, it would be right over here where the Kotel is, or right there, or however you want to put it. But that's how they ended up going through. What else we got over here? It says Vatoda Hashen is the second Thanksgiving, you know, procession. Holach Limoel, right? They went behind them or opposite them. Or Limo, maybe it is.
Limoel.
Limol. I don't know. But I went behind it. And all the way to the Choma Arachava. That's the Choma Arachava right over here. And me'al Sharafrayim, they went all the way to the Sharafrayim. Right, Al Shara Yeshana, Al Shara Dagim, Migdal Chanan, El Migdal Amneya, Ad Shara Tzon, all the way to Zeri, Amdu Vashara Matara. They stopped by the Shar HaMatara, right by that area right over there, right where the guard, where the guards were. Vatamuna Shdei Atodos, right, Beis Elohim. They all stopped in these two things coming off, and they went by Beis Elohim. Vani Vachatzi Askanim Mimi. I stood with half of the people together with me, the Sgans, together with me the entire time. Okay, there is something I want to get back to, but we'll go into it over there. Vakuanim El Yakim Asea Bin Yamin Michoya, right? And we also have El Yoenai, Skaya Khanani Bachatzotos. All of these people over here, they were singing with the trumpets themselves. Masea Ushmaev Alazar Uzi Vyocha Yohanan. We say Malkia ve'elim ve'ozer v'yashmiel v'shorim v'yizrachayhu v'yizrachya hapakid. All those people that were in charge. V'yizbal v'yamuz v'alchem gadol. They all brought these huge korbanos. Yismachu ki, and they were happy. Kilehim simcham simcha gadol. Hashem allowed them to have a simcha gadol. V'gam anashim v'yilod them sameichu. And even the children and the women, they also became happy. V'tishma v'tishama simcha shalom merachok. And they heard the simcha of Yerushalayim from far away. Beyipaktu bayomu anashim al anashachos la tzaros la trumos la reishis la reishis. And on that day, right, men were appointed over all of the nishachos, or just the chambers, laotzros, into the storage houses, latrumos, into the I don't know what you want to call that, the areas where they brought truma, maybe, the riches of maestros for all the firsts and the tithes, lichnos mem lasaria arim, minos latira, so that there would be Torah portions, I guess you could say, right, for the Kohanim, for the Levim. And the joy of Yehuda was upon everybody out there, and they were extremely, extremely happy. This obviously was a very simple structure. It was not as great as the first piece mentioned by any structure of the imagination. It was nothing like the third one altogether. They were also surrounded by hostile neighbors, and they were worried about everything that was going on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them feel like there was an inner joy, something they wouldn't have gotten anywhere else, and they were extremely, extremely happy. It says the pasuk right over here, it says, Vayishmu Mishmeres Eloheim, and they stood guard, right, again, for their God. And they did a pure guarding. And those who were gatekeepers and singers, right, they were the ones, they did in accordance to what David and Shlomo, his son, did. In other words, according to their mishmaros. In the days of David, as well as Asaf from the very beginning, we say, they began to sing these songs of praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, David HaMelech made them, and they all sang them. All the Jews during the days of Zerubbabel, who first brought them back, in the days of Nehemiah, Nosim Minayos, Hamishor and Moshoarim, they gave the singers and the gatekeepers like a tremendous gifts throughout Yom Yomo every single day. And they would dedicate to Levim dedicated to the Bnei Aharon over here, right? There was something given over to them. Now, again, it's possible that the Levim gave the Meister straight to the Bnei Aharon. They gave him straight to the Kohanim because they were fined and they weren't supposed to take it. It's possible Levim took it and then took Trumas Meister off and gave it to the Kohanim. It could be he's referring to something else different, you know, all like that. But regardless, the idea over here is what they were giving. They were Maktish by dedicating something that went over to the Levim themselves. Okay, it is weird. Because why would you only dedicate the Beis HaMikdash now and not earlier when the Beis HaMikdash was first made? We knew that it was completed for quite a bit. Remember, we said it was completed in 52 days. But it's still vulnerable to enemy attacks and stuff like that. So regardless, there were some beautifications that they needed to modify. Yes, they had the basic structure and they had built everything around it. But to make it really, really beautiful, right, it took a while for that to happen. And therefore, when he came home, he was shocked to see that it was all set up and everything was all good, right? But he really should have realized this is exactly what Bnei Yisrael were going to do. As soon as they had the opportunity, they were going to finish the Beis HaMikdash and make it look awesome. Now, Bayomu Nikra B'Sefer Moshe Vazneha On. On that day, they read from the book of Moshe Rabbeinu, a public reading of that Sefer Torah in the ears of the people in Issachar, and they found in it, Lo Yavo Amoni Moav V'Kal Elokim Ad Olam. They found, surprisingly, a random pasuk, of course, not random, but they opened up to a random pasuk, and they found it on Amoni and Moabi is not allowed to join Klal Yisrael. Now again, it doesn't look like this reading was read by Ezra Sofer. I don't know who it was read by, but it doesn't seem like it was written by Ezra because every time Ezra is involved, we say his name entirely. It seems like it was written by somebody else, but who, or read by somebody else, but we don't know who. Kilo Kidmos Bnei Yisrael V'Lechem V'Mayim, the reason why we don't allow Amoni and Moabim to join Klal Yisrael because they did not entreat us and ask us to take bread and water. By Yiskor love his Bilam Lekalo, and he rented Bilam to curse the nation. But a Kurdish Baruch who turned the Klalo, the curses, into a bracha. By Yikeshamam as the Torah, when they heard the Torah of Yavdilukol Arab Mi Yisrael. Once the Jews heard this, they separated all the Arabs from Klal Yisrael. They got rid of them completely. And there's two ways of looking at this. Either Arab refers to the people of those origins, the Arabic origins who were Moab and Ammonim. Up until this time, they were like, listen, they're not really Moab and Ammon because the Moab and Ammon have been gone for years. So they married the Arabs that were living in that land and they didn't have any problem with it whatsoever. Once they heard this, they're like, you know what, we better not take a chance. They divorced their wives or got rid of them from their kids and said, we're not going to do this anymore. So when they heard the Torah, they separated everybody out there. Lefi v'lifnemizeh el yashav ha-kohen. Before all that, El Yashav the Kohen, Nasom Belishkas Beis Eloheinu Karov Latovia. He was sitting, El Yashav HaKohen was, I guess he was sitting in the chambers very close to Tovia himself. Right? That's what he ended up doing. This, again, was El Yashav HaKohen itself. Now, It seems clear that Ammon and Moab did not exist at the time itself, but it could be that these people, remember Sanballat and Tovia and the Arabs that lived around there, they might have taken the traits of the Ammonim and Moabim, and they even kept up what they were doing. Just like Ammon and Moab hated Klal Yisrael and wanted to take over his land and didn't want Klal Yisrael to live in Eretz Yisrael, so to these people that were living there now, Sanballat and Tovia and all the people, even though they weren't literal Ammonim and Moabim, but they were living in that land, and they believed what Ammon and Moab believed in, right? That was a real problem. Therefore, they had to be killed together with everybody else as if they were Ammonim and Moabim, and they had to go ahead and destroy all these different things. Now again, intermarriage was apparently a big thing back then. And apparently this was a problem even for the people right around there. It could be that the Jews, right, were hanging out with the Ammonim Moab Arabs, right, and all the people around. At this point, when they heard this from the Torah itself and they realized, it says, you know what? They separated completely. What does it mean, separated completely? They stopped having any social interaction with them. If you had a business with one of those people, you stopped the business, right? You lost your money. But you said, I'm not doing business with you anymore. If they used to drink or eat or go out, whatever it is with these people, they stopped everything completely. Nehemiah, right, was a ruler at this time. And obviously people had gotten around and whatever it is and stuff like that, right? They made sure, right, to be able to get rid of them. And that was difficult for a lot of people who were aristocrats and very, very wealthy, who was already connecting in all these different things over here. Eliashiv HaKohen, by the way, was Eliashiv the Kohen Gadol. This man was the Kohen Gadol over here, but because, right, he, right now, he's only known as a Kohen, because even he messed up. In front of Eliashiv HaKohen, Nasun Belishkas Bezano Karov Latovia, they put him an area that was very close to Tovia itself. It's so crazy. Tovia actually had a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he didn't believe in anything. Like Stephen Hawking. Yeah, so Lishka Gedola. I don't want to say it, but like I was really happy today. Yeah, so Lishka Gedola, right? He had a great chamber. Veshami Lifanim, notice there's a Mincha Levina. That's where they would previously put the Minchas, Halavona, the frankincense, Vakalim, and all the Kalim, Maisar Adagam, Vetir Shayitzor, and the tithes of the grain and the wine and the oil, Mitzvah Zol Levim, what the Levim had to do, Vameshorim, Meshoarim, right? The singers and the gatekeepers of Truma Sakoanim, as well as the Truma. Bechosa Lo Yisi Yerushalayim. And now in all this, says Nehemiah, I wasn't in Yerushalayim. Why was I in Yerushalayim when all this happened? Kibishnas Shloshim Mishdayim L'Artachshasta Melech Bavel. Balsiel Melech Ketiyam Nishalti Min HaMelech. In 32 years, I was in front of Artachshasta, right? I came to the king. And at the end of those days, I asked from the king the permission to be able to come here. And I came to Yerushalayim, Avo B'Yerushalayim. Once I saw that they had taken away the storage houses for the stuff that they needed for the Beis HaMikdash, and they gave it over to Tuvia, who was barely from in the first place, and didn't believe in any of this stuff, and he was garbage whatsoever, he said, I couldn't believe it. Absolutely could not believe it. How in the world were willing to be able to say such a thing over here? There's a lot of weird things over here. First of all, do you notice Artachshasta is the king of?
Bavel.
Wait, he wasn't the king of Bavel ever. He was the king of Persia. He was not the king of Bavel. Why in the world do we call him that way? Now, in Ezra, we did earlier call him king of Persia, right? In Ezra earlier, Artachshasta is called the king of Ashur, right? So it could be that since this Persian kingdom took over Assyria and took over Babylonia, this is to tell us there is no more Assyrian king, there is no more Babylonian king, they are all Persian kings. That's all we get over here, right? It's possible that he may have prided himself at certain points calling himself as if he was from that culture, as if he was in charge over there. Maybe that's what he did over there. And I asked him, Vavod Yerushalayim, and I came to Yerushalayim, says Nehemiah over here, Va'avino v'ro asher asa El Yashiv L'Tovia, and I saw the evil that El Yashiv did for Tovia, El Yashiv the Kohen Gadol, right, who had done such evil for his relative, Tovia, Lassus Lo Nishka, to make him a chamber, B'chatshe B'Zalim, among the holy place of the Beis HaMikdash, V'Yerli Ma'oda, got very upset. V'Ashlichas Kol Klei Beis Tovia, Achutz Min Elishka, and I took all of his clothes and I threw it outside, right, all of his clothes, right, Va'omra, right, and I told them, and they purified all of the chambers, and I put there the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, a mincha v'alavona. It should be a mincha or a lavona. The aid a, right, and I knew, right, I ended up realizing, that the portions of the levim were not being given, that they weren't given their proper amounts. Right? So what do? Each man ran to the field, right? Each man fled over here. So the Levim and singers who did all their work, right? They had no choice, right? They had to go home because they were starving. They weren't getting enough miser, right? And things were really, really bad over there. It wasn't happening. So I fought. with the officers. And I said, why do you forsake the Beis HaMikdash? And I gather them and I put everybody back. I know you guys are hungry. I know you guys need money. This is not the way to do it. You can't go and just run away like that. I know, realize that there's problems over here, but you can't just run away. Let's take care of it ourselves. All of you, they brought their grain now and all of their oil and all their wine to special Otsaros, not to the area of the Beis HaMikdash. In charge of all the treasuries was Shlomi Akoin, Metzadaka, Sofro, Fidelium, and Levium. They were considered trustworthy. It was on them to give out to all their brothers to make sure that everybody had. They were the people that were going to be there. Metzadaka, Sofro was a Tamachacham. Shlomi Akoin was a Kohen. Pidaya was a Levi. All three of them were taken care of from this area over here. Zachuli Alhai Alzos. Says Nehemiah, after I did all this, says Nehemiah, look what I just did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember me, please, God, for good. Do not wipe out the good deeds that I did in the Beis HaMikdash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of my duty watches and everything I was supposed to be doing. I did a ton of stuff here. There was Shabbos that was lacking. There was the intermarriage that was lacking. There was the Beis HaMikdash itself that was going down. All the people were doing whatever they wanted. I started doing stuff in order to help people over here, right? I started teaching them all about what it means to keep Shabbos and to do it in such a normal manner, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember this for me for the great, that when I come back, I should become the king of the entire ocean, the king over everything in the world, right? So that everything becomes mine. That's the concept behind it. Yeah, I mean, why not be the king of Atlantis, right?
Sure.
It's not bad, right? But you might hear more easy, but Yehuda Dorchim Gitos. In those days, you know what I saw? It's so sad. In Yehuda, I saw people pressing on their wine presses on Shabbos. Mavim Aremos, they bring in their bundles, the Om Simen Alachamorim, they would pile them up on the donkeys. Afiyayin and Navim with the Inim, they would bring wine and grapes and figs, Vachomasa and any burden. Mavim Yerushalayim, they brought Yerushalayim Yom HaShabbos. Va'id B'yom Mechrom Tzayid. Right, Tzayid. And I warned them, right, on the day that they sold their food, I warned them over there that it was going to be, if you keep publicly violating Shabbos like this, I'm going to be mafker everything over here. Everything is going to go down over here. That's that. It says, the Hatsorim, right, Yashvuba. The people from Tyre were really into it. They were bringing stuff on Shabbos, knowing the Jews would buy. Mevim Dug, they brought fish, Vachom Mecher, and all these different merchandise things they could sell. Mokom Shabbos, they sold on Shabbos, living in Yerushalayim to the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Oriva, the Arivas, Chori Yerushalayim. I fought with the officers of Yerushalayim, Vachom, and I said to them, right, but Omelam, what is this horrible thing you're doing? You guys are being Machal Shabbos. Right, what's going on over there? As a side note, by the way, did you notice the word Dug is spelled really weird in Pasuk Tazayin? It says Dug is in Dawid Aleph Gimel, right? That it's spelled like that.
Like
it could be it's referring to something that's very, very new and fresh. And that's the reason why he adds on the Aleph that it was very, very an awesome little fish over there.
It says, Ratzalomar Kfutzat Dugim.
The whole thing of Dugim. Right. Right. So I fought with them. Said Nehemiah, you know, like obviously when I was gone and things were just going on their own, the rich men took over the city. We all know that the Beis HaMikdash's walls were not taken care of. Right. And I came back and I saw people in Mechal Shabbos. He's like, this is what happens when I leave. I all of a sudden leave and this is what ends up happening. When the gates of Yerushalayim, they cast shadows right before Shabbos. So I commanded, all doors should be closed in the marketplace. Right? So that's what I commanded. And I said, they will not open it at Achar Shabbos until after Shabbos itself. Right? That's what he told over to them. And he said, there's no way I'm going to let this keep up. There's no way that I'm going to let people keep doing it over here. We have no idea what's happening. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get more angry at us. Maybe there's going to be other things that are right out there. Right? But that's that. He said, there's no reason to get involved with the people of that area. Some of my boys, I put up on the gates, Lo Yavo Mishom B'Yom HaShabbos, said no loads could be brought in on the day of Shabbos. I brought in my own people. There were no exceptions. Even if a traveler came a little bit late, he doesn't get in. Nobody gets in on Shabbos itself. And the Rochlim, the merchandisers, right? And everybody who sold their wares, they had to live outside of Yerushalayim, Palm Oshtayim, one or two nights, right? Because I wouldn't let them in. And I warned them, and I said to them, why are you guys sleeping opposite the wall? If you do it again, you do it a second time, I'm going to send out my army against you. Once I told them that, and I threatened them, and I warned them, They didn't come on Shabbos ever again. Way to go, Nechemia. But these are the types of people that he went through, and he could not believe that people were willing to do this. But Omra Levim, and it says to Levim, Shiyu Metarim, right? Shiyu Metarim Bo Baim.
Yeah.
Right, they were becoming more pure. He told the Levim to become more pure. Shomri Masha'arim, Lekadosh Yom HaShabbos. For all the gatekeepers and everything like that, they should be Mekadosh Shabbos. Gam Tzolzachali Elohai, V'chusalai Kisov Chastecha. Remember me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and protect me according to your great goodness because of how many people I allowed to keep Shabbos. I wouldn't let them work on Shabbos whatsoever. Gam B'Yamahim also in those days where he sees Yehudim. I saw another thing the Jews were doing. Hoshivu Nashim Ashdodios. They were marrying Ashdodian woman, obviously Plishtim, Ammonios. Right, and Moavios. That's what they're doing. Well, Benahem, this is weird, right? So they married Ashdodi wives, Ammoni wives, and Moavi wives. Benahem chatzim medaber Ashdodos ve'enem akirim medaber Yehudis. Right, half of them, they actually spoke Ashdodian, and they didn't even know Hebrew. Right? In the language of each nation. They knew the basic idea behind all those things over there. Because they were around there, and they'd been a long time since some Balat and Tovia, they decided to commit in whatever it was, but it's not necessarily a good idea, right? They did whatever they were supposed to do over here in Zehu. Where is it? Yeah. So either way, it says, "Ubneim chatzim v'dabra ashdodios v'enem akirin l'dabra yehudis u'kolshon am ba'am," like any other people, right? Like the language of any other nation, they just did whatever they wanted. "Va'rivimam," I fought with them. "Va'kalam," and I cursed them. "Va'kameim," and "nashim," and I cut people down. "Va'emretaim," and I pulled out their hair. "Va'ashbiim baluhim," and I swore them against God. "Imtitum v'noseichem l'bneihem," you cannot give your daughters over to their sons. "V'imtitum v'noseichem l'bneihem," you cannot bring their daughters in for your sons, right, v'lachem, as well as for you. "Halo al eilech chata shlomo." Yeah. "Halo al eilech chata shlomo melech Yisrael." Isn't it because of these, right? This is the problem. Isn't this what Shlomo Melech sinned by? Shlomo started intermarrying with some of the people out there, and look what happened to him. Among all the nations of the world, there was nobody as great as him, right? There was nobody as great as he was. God made him the king over all the Jews. He was caused to sin by those other wives. That was the problem over here. There's a lot of issues that end up happening over here. So, time out. Shlomo Melech is a little bit different. The Rambam says in Hilchos Isuri Bia that there's no question that Shlomo Melech must have been the guy with his wives. How could it be that Shlomo Melech, as great as he was with Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, etc., that he wasn't Megayer his wives and he married Mamish, non-Jewish woman? That just doesn't make any sense. So of course he was. So what happened over here? So it seems like, well, that's what happened to Shlomo. We're comparing it to Shlomo Melech. Same thing that happened over here. They were also Megayer their wives. The problem was, as we said before, the Geirus wasn't exactly the best Geirus in the world. There was no real Kabbalah Semitzos. It was like what we have nowadays, a conservative thing. Just go into the mikvah, have a bris milah, and you're all good. Yeah.
You could say the same thing about Shlomo's wives. They weren't practicing.
But he was only allowed to have 18 and he had 1,000. That was a problem.
No, but I'm saying the other problem was that they were doing their own thing also. Doesn't it say it straight out?
The concubines. He'd assume his wives didn't. Right, it could be, but the concubines for sure did. And you're right, that was a problem. That was exactly the problem. And here, the biggest problem. Can you imagine? Their father spoke Hebrew, but what do you speak at home? Who's home more than the father? Obviously the mother. And the mother spoke in her native language, which meant the kids didn't even know Hebrew. They knew all the languages in the world, but they didn't know anything else. They didn't recognize what's supposed to be over here. They couldn't participate in tefillah. They couldn't participate in shirim or stuff like that. So maybe they did convert. Maybe these Ashdodi women did convert. But they had no shaychus to Judaism, and they didn't want to have anything to Judaism, and it was a major, major problem, right? And they said this was the sin of Shlomo. So here it said, in Pasuk Chaf Hei, we actually learned from this Pasuk. Do you have a Toldos Aharon over here?
Yeah.
Moed Katan?
Yep. Ted Zion.
We learn from here what you're allowed to do, right, when you want to put a guy in harem. So the first thing is you're allowed to curse them, right? You can actually curse them. You put them in a form called Nidui, which is the predecessor. You know, eventually it can become harem. You're allowed to beat them. If you see people that are doing absolutely badly, then you can give them Makas Martis. Give them rebellious lashes, and you can beat them as much as you can. Val Martim, you could actually pull out their hair. Not just their hair. The hair is not that big of a deal. Maybe, like that. The lion's mane. Pulled out their beards, That was the most embarrassing thing that could happen to a person. When David Melech sent his men over to Nachash, king of Ammon, to, you know, console him for the fact that his father just died, Nachash ben Ammon shaved off half of the beards of those people. David Melech said, don't come any further. Stay where you are. I know you're embarrassed. And he didn't let the messengers come in any further. And then he went to fight against Nachash ben Ammon. It was something that was considered extremely degrading to not have a beard back then. And thus, the Emratim was a really, really bad punishment itself. And all those, Vashpia Malkim, I made them swear that they would do exactly what they're supposed to do and not anything different. That's the idea behind it, yeah.
Is this the same source, so to speak, that people use for roughing up like guys who won't give the get?
No, that's straight out Gemara.
Okay.
Kovnos Archem Marotzani, which is actually in this week's Parsha and Rashi, right? Not about a get, but about Korbanos. But yeah, the concept is Kovnos Archem Marotzani. No, it's not the same person. No. You should know, when it comes to their Nehemiah, said that from this point forward, Gerus, in order to just be married to a Jew, is not acceptable. Media rights, that's fine. I mean, guy or girl wants to do it, that's fine. But halachically, we don't accept it. So now, right, that is the end right over here. Right, and we saw the, even Shlomo Melech was not special enough, and that's that. That's the idea behind it. Okay, it looks like the people listened. It looks like that reason, and that's why he says, Zachor li Elohai l'tova, remember me for good, because he actually did something, and the men divorced their wives and got rid of them, and things seemed to be good over here. But now we're getting into, finally, you know, like another idea. It says, Vahuv l'lohav, so we say over here, we just said, this is what Shlomo Melech said, among all the nations in the world, there was no king like him, and he was loved by God. The king allowed him to be king over all of Bnei Yisrael, right, all together. And even he was sinned along with his non-Jewish wives. For you that hears to do all these evil things, Lim ol Belohenu, to be maul against our God and Jews in the world, and to marry women that are not Jewish. Some of these was the sons of Yoyada ben Yoyashiv Kohen Gadol, the actual Kohen Gadol, some of their sons, like Yoshua ben Yotzadok, right? And what happened with his kids? Yoyada ben Yoyashiv Kohen Gadol also had that Chosin Sanbalat HaChorani. He was a son-in-law of Sanbalat HaChorani. So it says, Vabricheu Melai, and I drove him away. Zokla Melai, I want you to remember for them, my God. Al Go'ole HaKuna. For all the disgustingness of the kuna, bris akuna, as well as the bris of the kuna of alavim, and everything that happens, so that it shouldn't affect each other. Right. Okay. So wait, but hold on a second. What I wanted to say, Yoyada was the son of Eliashiv, and he was the Sambalat's daughter, converted, right, to Judaism in order to marry, etc. That's even not mutter, obviously. A kohen cannot marry a gioras. Nonetheless, right, they went ahead and did it. And that was a little bit crazy over here. Okay. Nunu, I chased them away. Zachar Elohai, Ga'olei HaKuna, right, all the defilement of what the Kohen did, Bris HaKuna, as well as the Bris of the Kohen of Alevim, V'tiyartim v'kol Nechor, and I was matired them, I purified them from having any non-Jewish people around them, Amida Mishmaros LaKohen Alevim, I made the Mishmars for the Kohen Alevim, Ish Melachto, Ish Man HaKohen Adar Melachto, L'Kur Ben Ha'itim Ba'itim as Mizumanim, I brought in offerings of wood at Mizumanos at certain times, L'Abikurim, Zachar Elohai L'Tova, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to, remember me for absolute good. Yeah, that's that. Nehemiah, right, ended up bringing everyone together and making sure they were all going to be good together as one. Okay, so remember me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, I want to bring over here, I want to be over there. Okay, Gemara says, Kol mili de Ezra nechempincha chalaya amrinu. Everything that Ezra wrote was really written through Nehemiah itself. We don't know if that means that Ezra wrote it first and then Nehemiah wrote it over, or if Nehemiah wrote the whole thing in the first place. We're not sure when it comes to it, but obviously he did write it together. And the reason why the Sefer is not known by him, we call it Sefer Ezra, we don't call it Sefer Nehemiah, even though it's really Ezra Nehemiah, right, is because Hechzik Tov La'atmo, because at the end he's like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what I did. Remember me and allow me to get something great when it comes to stuff like that, right? That is that. You can understand pride. Yeah, you can go through something like this. First of all, he was an amazing person, Nechemiah. Look what he was able to do. And he had Ruach HaKodesh and did some pretty awesome stuff over here. He was the last Jewish leader to be able to work with Ezra, who was also known as Malachi, right? He sensed his faith, greatness, and even said it about it. Now, on our level, we say, okay, but you're not supposed to say it out loud. You might think you're great, right? But you really shouldn't say it out loud, and you shouldn't even really be thinking it. But nonetheless, that should be. But this is, it's really interesting. It's just very, very strange. We have to remember Nechemiah for good, for all the good that he did. And his own last words are historically the last words of all of Tanakh. Zachor li Elohai l'tova. Because Divrei Yamim technically was written before this, because Ezra was supposed to have finished off most of Ezra Nechemiah, which means this was technically the last thing that was ever written, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember me for good. And what a great thing to say at the very, very end, so to speak, of Tanakh, to be able to say such a thing. Everything over here was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Anything from this point forward are known as Sfarim Chitzonius. They're non-canonical. Canonical or canonical?
Canonical.
Very proud of myself. Write books altogether. So whether it's the Sefer HaKashmonayim or Ben Sira or any of the other great books, we don't consider them as part of the things over here. It absolutely does not count. The Netziv says... Okay, well, yeah, there is a little bit of a line. Over here it says, Zachor li Elohai l'tova. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zichur li Torah's Moshe. But I don't think there's an actual... Let's not go into that right now. Right? I guess part of our Amunah is to believe that this is actually going to be the best thing for all of Klal Yisrael, that everything's going to work out the best. And obviously, may we merit to see the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. The lesson of Ezra and Nechemiah is that it doesn't get easy. Just because Mashiach comes does not mean automatically everything's going to happen our way. We have to deserve it. We have to deserve more. And only then can we really get what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us. Okay, we'll stop with that. That was the end of Nechemiah.